Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So as we said, 8.9% unemployment rate. Now, that's good news. And if it keeps declining, there's a political story there. But what are the economics of what we're seeing? Because there's some statistical anomalies lurking within the numbers that we heard this morning from the Labor Department. Charlie Herman joins us, Takeaway Economics Editor. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
And Kelly Evans we bring back from the Wall Street Journal. She writes the Ahead of the Tape column. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
So let's break it down. We talked with Charlie a little bit. He was saying that the real headline here, and perhaps the reason why markets aren't responding more positively, is that it didn't show a sign that discouraged workers are reemerging, that they're still staying on the sidelines. Is that your read?
That's part of it. But I will say that the unemployment rate over the last 3 months has fallen by the most, or, you know, that almost a full percentage point drop is the sharpest we've seen in a similar time frame since 1983. So the big question heading into today's report was, you know, would you see that fall? And if so, was it for the right reasons? And I will say it's not just because people are staying out of the labor force. You know, the household survey, which is we use to calculate the unemployment rate, has been painted a little bit more encouraging picture of the labor force than the payroll side of it in the last couple months. Again, that may partly have something to do with weather effects last month. That may just be the Bureau of Labor Statistics undercapturing new business formation, which has been a problem in the past. Other parts, other surveys of the labor market have been stronger, whether it's the ADP jobs report, whether it's the ISM surveys the last couple of days about manufacturing and service sector job growth. There's reason to see here, potentially, that if we get this kind of sustained job growth, that it's something much more supportive of an expansion than anything we've seen over the last 18 months.
Well, you'd see more people coming back into the workforce. And if you look at the numbers, you saw about 60,000 people did come back into the workforce. It's just in terms of the total number of people that are out there that are looking for work, it basically is sort of staying unchanged.
But let's just back up for a second. So the drivers are there, Charlie, is what you and Kelly are saying, but it's not evident enough to people on the sidelines to encourage them to think, well, hey, I actually could get a job here. People aren't really turning in their minds. It's almost a psychological thing.
I think one of the things that you also look in this report is that you see, to be a little bit negative on it, you see that the payroll was basically unchanged. You see that the work week was basically unchanged. And these are two factors that economists would look at to say, okay, employers are, they're getting a lot of demand. They're asking their current employees to work even more. We had the report earlier this week that productivity was up. It was at one of the highest levels we've seen in some time. So that there seems to be these indications that with the productivity numbers that maybe there is a lot of demand that are coming on employees. And at the same time, we look at this report and we don't really see that they're paying more, that they're asking them to work more. So that's a question of, do employers really feel like they're at the point where they need to hire more people?
And we should remind people, Takeaway Economics Editor Charlie Herman, that the productivity number is a sign that employers are squeezing existing workers. It's a positive number for the economy, but not necessarily good for people who are looking for work. Kelly Evans, why aren't the markets happier that this steep decline, and it's something of a record, at least in near-term memory, of such a steep decline, why aren't the markets reacting more positively?
Right. So the 222,000 jobs the private sector added last month, because, again, government was a bit of a counterweight, that's a big trend that we're starting to see. But anyhow, that figure was easily the strongest in about 4 years. So why aren't people celebrating, you know, with the unemployment rate falling? Basically, after we got such strong labor market readings from other surveys, you know, people were, as we like to call it, the whisper number. They're talking about, you know, could we see a 300, maybe even upwards of a 400,000 print? And people have been disappointed with this report over and over and over in the last several months. And today, I have to say, probably fell in the category of a bit more disappointing. I mean, basically, you can take these figures, and I'm watching all the analysis come through my inbox, and there's something here for everyone. The economists who felt relatively sanguine about the outlook are saying, look, there's X, Y, and Z that are great in this report. The others are saying, no, you know, you look at the trend here on average over the last 18 months, we're creating barely over 100,000 jobs a month. You know, earnings the work week didn't pick up as we maybe had hoped, because those are seen as leading indicators too. And, you know, so this doesn't actually give us that much encouragement. So I would just say that, you know, again, the trend hasn't been all that great. The real question is, given this month's report, will we start to see this sustained so that we get more used to seeing figures in the range of 150,000, 200,000 a month? If we don't see that, there's a much bigger problem in terms of the government shedding workers and just the broader question of can this expansion or can the recovery that we've seen so far be sustained?
We're talking with Kelly Evans, Wall Street Journal reporter. She writes the Ahead of the Tape column. Go ahead, Kelly.
I was just going to add that I'm looking at the chart here, sort of graphicizing the past five.
Graphicizing.
Yeah, like the word. So past 5 months, and it really is kind of the seesaw where you see it up and then it drops down, then up and down, sort of this roller coaster effect. And on the market front, I find it amusing in the sense it's like a child with ADD that all this week leading up to it, the focus is on the jobs report. When they get it, when it doesn't necessarily match the growing expectations, and the market moves on and looks at other issues. This happens all the time with that, where they see that, and then suddenly they move on to the next thing. Now, what's happening with oil?
Exactly. I was just going to say that the other big thing happening right now is the price of oil. So you have it back on the New York gauge above around $103 a barrel. And so I think if you had a really strong report and oil was roughly even, the market would have responded a little bit better. And again, remember yesterday we had such a strong day. They were pricing in such a strong figure that with oil now a little bit higher, with this figure just a little bit shy of expectations, I think it's a little bit understandable that the market isn't happier.
Right. And all three indices are down at this point. So you would expect profit taking after 191 Dow upsurge yesterday. And again, the oil number really, really important. Oil dropped by a dollar and change yesterday. It's up by a dollar and change today.
Again, it's another reminder to not to look at the stock market as the bellwether for how the economy is doing. I think a lot of people look at the stock market who maybe aren't, you know, professional traders, just listeners look at it and say, oh, the stock market's up. That means the economy's good. The stock market's down. Things are bad.
All right, well, let's forget
the
market.
They're separated there.
We got a minute to go here. What is the number of jobs that need to be created to actually keep a declining trend going? Kelly Evans, I always forget this every month.
Totally depends. If the labor force doesn't increase from here, anything will help. If it does increase, you're going to need a lot bigger gain. And I would just say, again, the stock market here may be sniffing out higher oil prices, do mean a slowdown coming. End of the Federal Reserve sort of supportive state could be a problem come mid-year.
Kelly Evans, Wall Street Journal, writes the Ahead of the Tape column talking about the 8.9% unemployment rate. Charlie, before we go, with these seasonal fluctuations and these weird anomalies out of the way, does it put more pressure on spring and summer as a real test of the economy strength?
I think so, and I think everything Kelly outlined there is completely right, that what happens with oil is going to be a big issue in whether or not that actually leads to consumers pulling back. And if that happens in particular, that would be bad for the economy going forward.
You going to buy some oil today, Charlie?
I'm going to go out and buy as much as I can.
Our commodities speculator himself, Charlie Herman, Takeaway Economics Editor. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks.